Good afternoon, Tracy Morgan with you with your extended news at noon. And on the phone with me is Chief Scott Gehring of the Harmony Fire District. And we're going to be talking about a couple of things. It's dry, it's hot, so you have fire dangers, you have heat dangers in the way of health. We're going to talk a little bit about funding and the challenge right now for volunteer fire departments. So, Chief Gehring, thank you so much for spending some time with us. We appreciate it.
Oh, you're welcome.
Chief, let me first go down the avenue of it being so hot. So let's talk about fire dangers first. Because it has been quite hot, and I walked across the grass the other day. It was a little crispy, and I thought, there's a high danger right now, isn't there?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, there's a danger to the actual property, and there's a danger to the residents as well. For individuals that don't have air conditioning, they really need to be monitoring their conditions, making sure that they're hydrated. They need to stay out in the sun and circulate air in their homes. As firefighters, it's very dangerous to us just based off the fact of the amount we sweat in conditions like this is enormous. Wearing a personal protective gear, we need to make sure that we are constantly hydrated and ready to perform at a moment's notice.
Now,
but as far as the property, there is everything's dead. Everything's dry or dying, one of the two, whether it's brush, whether it's your grass, what have you. Small little campfires and a little bit of a breeze or burning some brush can really turn into a pretty significant incident really fast.
Can I go back to the gear that you wear? Because that gear, you bring up an important point, is quite important to you, but that is quite heavy. I mean, that is thick material that you are wearing.
Yeah, absolutely.
How do you deal with that on a day like today, or, you know, in this heat that you have to go and help at whatever given scenario, whether it be a fire accident, whatever you're called to, and you have to have all of that on?
Well, so we do our best to do work rest cycles. Sometimes it's not always the best, but we do have a rehab policy, which is for us monitoring ourselves after we come out of conditions like that that are so abnormal. So EMS monitors us, our vital signs, our hydration, ensures that we're tended to, ensured that we're cooled down and then readies us for potentially going back into the atmosphere and just ensuring that nothing adverse happened to us while we were in there, whether that includes doing an EKG and making sure that our vital signs and our blood pressure are all within normal parameters. But we're looked after pretty heavily by our ambulance service.
So there's no cooling system within your gear. There's no material that would keep like something cool next to you and then the heat out. There's nothing like that in these suits?
No, because it does get hot inside them. You figure if you're going into temperatures that are well beyond any extreme a human's capable of without the protective gear, if we had something inside there, it would absolutely, it could burn us or boil or vaporize. The gear itself is made to protect you, to pull the moisture away from your skin. It's made to wick it away. And it's also made to prevent moisture from coming in as well. So there's a layer. You could think whenever we're utilizing a hose line inside a residence, that water turns to steam somehow. And we want to prevent that from getting to our firefighters because that's how we get injured.
Right. So interesting.
The gear's built and designed to protect us.
Interesting. Okay, so let's jump back to the property. I know you were talking about the property right now. Did you see any problems over the 4th of July, or are you now looking towards the rest of the summer with the campfires that you're talking about?
Yeah, 4th of July was actually really quiet for our area here. I know within the region there were fires that were associated with fireworks and so on. Just as much as an ember dropping onto something can cause a combustion of the product. But our big focus is right now is just ensuring people are educated that everything's dead. Anything that you put a light of a flame to is going to ignite. So the awareness of don't be burning brush, don't be burning trash, don't be having unattended campfires. Everything needs to be very calculated and very controlled. Because if not, you could have a pretty significant fire pretty quickly.
And we're talking today. We haven't seen rain for quite a few days. When you're giving us these warnings, does it take just one good rainfall to switch it, or does it take two or three days of rain to give moisture back into the ground or the trees or the leaves?
It's going to take a while. There's a there was rain a few weeks ago, and it didn't, and it was pretty significant rain, pretty hard rain, and it didn't change the color of any grass or anything associated with it because everything is so dry.
Because the reason I ask is you deal with this day in and day out. For someone like me, I may see a rain shower and think, okay, now I can go burn or I can, you know, put a fire together. But you're saying, you know, wait a bit.
Yeah, wait until you see the color come back into everything.
Okay.
And it's not just going to be one rainfall.
Do we need to mow? I saw someone mowing the other day, and I thought, what are you mowing?
I just said that to myself on Thursday.
Oh, did you?
I just said that to myself on Thursday while I was cutting my grass. You know, it probably won't be a while. It'll probably be a while until I have to mow this again.
Right.
Because it was dust.
Right. I know it was. It's a lot of dust. But anyway, so let me switch gears on us because I know we only have a little bit of time left with you and I want to talk about so much. One, let's talk about the health of individuals. Okay. I know we talked about you all as firefighters. You have special gear and that is an important topic to talk about. But what about individuals that you're helping out there? If you're called out on an emergency, are we not drinking enough? Do we need to stay in air conditioning more? What would you say? When do we know when to call 911?
Well, the average individual doesn't drink enough water on a daily basis. You really have to concentrate on it and pay attention to stay hydrated, especially in these conditions. You can sweat out your entire reserve pretty quick while doing some type of minor to moderate physical activity. I mean, just going outside in these conditions, you're sweating. So people need to monitor that. You need to monitor yourself for any changes, which could include a headache, dizziness, blurred vision, hot, pale, flushed, anything like that could really be an indicator that, hey, I've got a potential problem. I need to hydrate a little bit. I need to ensure that I'm intaking enough water. And then also in your home, if there are individuals that do not have air conditioning, they need to be looked after. Most of them are climatized to the atmosphere that they live in, but they still need to be looked after and ensure that they are providing themselves with the resources they need, water, food. Food's an important part of hydration as well.
And so what symptoms would we be feeling if we've crossed a line where we really need to make sure that we either care for ourselves or we call? Are we dizzy or are we fainting? Or, well, fainting, of course, that would be a clear sign. But those signs, before we get to fainting, what are we feeling?
Well, I would definitely look that up online to ensure that you know all of the symptoms, but there's a ton of them that could lead you down to, as like I call, indicators that you're potentially dehydrated. And that could be dizziness. That could be lack of sweating. That could be blurred vision. Anything that starts to give you an abnormal sensation could possibly be from dehydration.
Chief Gearing is on the phone with... Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead. Don't want to interrupt you.
There's two different levels of heat emergencies. One's heat exhaustion and one heat stroke. Heat exhaustion is very reversible. You just need to get yourself cooled down. You need to open... most people take their clothes off, get into a cool area, maybe turn a fan on and drink some water. Heat stroke could be fatal. People need to catch it in that heat exhaustion phase before they get to the heat stroke phase because it's very dangerous to your body. It's just like being super cold. Being super hot is just as bad.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah, it's interesting to hear what people enjoy, the heat or the colder temperatures, but when you get into excessive temperatures, it can really be dangerous. And so I thank you for reminding us of that, and of course, always keeping us safe. Drink a lot of water, folks. So if you're out there, do we need extra water? I mean, I think, what is it, 8 glasses a day we're supposed to drink on a normal day. But when we get into something like this, drink extra water?
Absolutely, and it all depends on your physical activity.
Yeah. Chief Gearing is on the phone with me, Harmony Fire District. We're talking about a couple of things, the health of ourselves, health of firefighters, fires in the danger that we are seeing right now because of the dryness, and we're just waiting for rain, I guess, at this point, and lower temperatures, which likely won't come until the weekend, but that's our greatest chance of having some rain showers. Let me switch a little bit on you, Chief, because I have you for a few more minutes, and I wanted to ask you about something special that happened recently that I understand has happened before. Some young ladies put together a lemonade stand to help you all out. Can you talk about that lemonade stand that happened a few days ago?
Yeah, so some local residents in there in Harmony Borough and actually one of our firefighters' children knew that we were in need of funds. We have a fundraising issue at this point due to COVID-19. So they took it upon themselves to put together a COVID-19 safe lemonade stand. They gave out bottled water and packets of lemonade instead of making it by hand. And had a stand set up for an entire day and raised some funds to support the fire district and its operations.
Now, you say some funds. I think they raised a few hundred dollars, right? I mean, they did really well with this.
I wish I could answer that, but I don't know what the end number was.
The final total. Yeah, I understand it was a couple hundred dollars. So congratulations to those young ladies. That was That's a really good effort to put together and to raise that much. And I'm sure you enjoy that, to see the effort that they put forth. But let me ask you a serious question about not only your fire district, but fire departments in general. What kind of funding challenge are you having right now? Because we keep doing stories about the lack of firefighters, so you need firefighters, period. And for volunteer fire companies, that gets to be a challenge. For paid ones, you're still looking for firefighters to be able to join you. So what are you looking at as an industry right now with the funding issue?
Yeah, the fundraising for the volunteer fire company, we're not 100% tax supported. So the fundraising comes in that helps us make some ends meet. Our firefighters don't raise money to purchase fire trucks or equipment or gear. That's what our tax money's for the equipment and apparatus. So what we do raise our funds for is to give back to our volunteers that are really hard to get these days, like the funding of our incentive program that gives our firefighters something to give back to them for their training, their education, their call response, their meeting participation, their participation on committees and the operations of the organization. That's what our fundraising does. It also gives back to them through a banquet. It gives them time to enjoy themselves, and it's all support of our membership. So the fundraising piece of it, if it's missing, we're going to have trouble recruiting people because we want to be able to give back to them some way.
What is the difficulty?
So that's what we
use. Yeah, what's the difficulty in recruiting people right now? Is it that they have other interests? It's just not something that they've thought that they could do? Are they moving out of the area? Why is it hard to recruit right now?
I think it's unique to different areas. I think one of the biggest problems is life in general. If you look across the nation, there's a nationwide decline in volunteerism. What's happened that it's declined? It's actually pretty clear. It's the fact that how busy people's lives are nowadays. Think about families with two kids. Those are we usually have members, and that's about one, two, three kids they have. How many sports and events are they participating in? How many ancillary things are they going and doing that they don't have the time? Work-life balance is very important to them, and most of them don't have the time to give. Our entire region here has shifted from a industrial workforce to a technological workforce and a healthcare workforce. So to get those volunteers from those people that are working in the mills on shift work to be available most of the time 24 hours a day, based off of who's working what shift, is almost impossible nowadays. A lot of people's work schedules have changed, and daylight's our biggest vulnerability for any one of us.
And out of those people who come and try out to be a part of a fire department, don't you have requirements for them as well? They would have to pass certain tests.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. So the second piece of that is the training that's required. At the Harmony Fire District and many other organizations, they require you to go through a 188-hour class, and then on top of that, take a test that certifies you as a firefighter one to be an interior firefighter. Now, not everybody needs to be an interior firefighter. Everybody has different positions and roles that they can fill. But if you want to be an interior firefighter, it's a pretty significant time commitment compared to what it used to be back when those days when volunteerism wasn't an issue. It was only 88 hours or even less than that. So the time commitment's significant.
Let me go back to the way we're living right now with the pandemic, and I guess going back to the fundraising aspect, but also as you're trying to get volunteers, How have you been working around the pandemic? How have you been working alongside it, if you will? Because you still need to do a job. You still have to be on the front line there when you're talking about emergencies. And yet we are all now living in a different world for the past 3 or 4 months.
Sure. Just like any other organization, we've implemented temperature checks and screenings, mask wearing, and limiting our distance with the individuals that come to the organization to participate. But probably the biggest issue is that we can't. We need to be careful with how we expose ourselves to the public on people that we don't know, because if it's a fire alarm, a fire, or a vehicle crash, we're very up close and personal with those individuals. Even fundraising. That's why we had to get rid of our fundraising. We couldn't expect our members to have contact with thousands of people selling tickets for what was projected to be our biggest raffle year ever. And we had to cancel that. But you have to really take calculated, you have to make calculated decisions to ensure that what you're doing is going to be worth it. And we're an emergency service, so we really don't have a choice but to interact with the public and provide the service that we can.
When you're mentioning tickets, I assume that's your biggest fundraiser of the year?
Yeah, we were supposed to give away a brand new model year Corvette this year.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's
big. It was coming in. And we were lucky enough that we were able to cancel it. We ate a little bit of money on that, but we were lucky enough to be able to cancel it. But it was projected to be an amazing year for us. We just felt that the health and wellness of our membership was more important than selling raffle tickets.
And my question then is, have you had discussions of how do you make that up? Whether it's a year down the road or it's 2 months from now, have you had discussions on how do you go forward now with fundraising in the way that we're living right now?
We're really pushing the online stuff. We have fundraisers that get mailed out to everybody in their homes. We have fundraisers that are taking place online. We have local businesses that are doing fundraisers for us because they know that how vulnerable we are at this point. And we're also, actually within a month, you should see us having some type of fundraising as an actual virtual online. They're called, they're strip tickets. And what we'll do is they take it and we accept money through one of the third party apps like Venmo or PayPal, and then we will put your name on a bar on the piece of paper, and then we scratch off the winner associated with that, and there'll be variable different prizes, coolers and outdoor grilling sets, and there's all kinds of options that we can do, but that's our biggest thing right now is trying to recover those funds, and it will be through those tickets. They're called short tips, not strip tickets.
Okay. Chief Gearing of Harmony Fire District, let me ask you just your final thoughts, anything you want to leave with us, especially because we are in such a dry season right now, just hoping for rain, but one rain shower won't do it, as we've talked about before. So any final thoughts?
Just that your local fire department is there. It's essential. It's important. Whether you go and help them out by volunteering to assist them with their operations or by donating to them through a fundraiser, your help is appreciated. I think that everybody has the greatest intentions in the world with wanting to do good things. Well, let's go and show them we can do good things, either by donating or by actually going out and assisting them with volunteering.
Chief Gearing, be safe, of course, out there. Of course, that same message to all of your firefighters, and thank you so much for your time.
Okay, thank you very much.